You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Yesterday was Martin Luther King Day in America, and I want to take the opportunity today to expand on what I talked about yesterday, particularly when I talked about the power of one. One person making a difference for time and for eternity. Martin Luther King, he stood at the forefront of the civil rights movement. He profoundly changed the course of American history, and he did it with nonviolent resistance to racial segregation and discrimination. Of course, Abraham Lincoln did much the same, and like King, he was assassinated for his anti-slavery heroics. Lincoln, in one of the most remarkable pieces of oratory in American history, called our country to repent. He described the Civil War as God's punishment for American slavery. And like Martin Luther King, Lincoln's orations were shaped by the teachings of Jesus Christ, who was the quintessential demonstration of the power of one. But the power of one works both ways. Just yesterday, I did a podcast with Professor Mary Graber, who wrote a book debunking a man named Howard Zinn. You might not recognize his name, but this man had a profound impact on our country and continues to have that impact today. So many millennials or Generation Z, so many people in general that hate America do so because they have been colored by his thinking. Few of them know that Zinn was a communist. He was an actual member of the CPUSA. And he has had a towering impact on the educational and entertainment industries in our country. He was a man who has done more to poison the minds of, I would say, American students on the issue of racism than anyone before him or after him. And he was a race baiter. He pontificated again and again that America, for all intents and purposes, invented racism. He said that capitalism is the root of racism, and went on to say that there's not a country in the world in which racism has been more important for such a long period of time as the United States of America. And while his sentiment has become popular, the reality is that racism and the attendant evil of slavery are hardly inventions of America. Both racism and slavery have existed throughout the history of humanity. And credible historians have said just that. The commercial sales of black slaves began after the conquest of northern Africa, way back in the 8th century, by Arabs. Thomas Sowell has rightly observed that Arabs were notable as the cruelest of all slave masters. Slavery is inextricably woven into the fabric of Sharia law. But not only Sharia. Slavery has been practiced throughout human history, practiced in Asia, in Africa, in Europe, even prior to the discovery of the New World by Columbus, there was enslavement of Indians by Indians of other tribes. And as Mary Graber makes plain, the Africans' legal system actually fueled the Atlantic slave trade. Now, this is important for many reasons. While slaves in America and Europe typically had difficult, demanding, and degrading work, while they were mistreated by exploitive masters who were anxious to maximize their profits, in Africa, a slave could be arbitrarily sacrificed on an altar. My point is simply to say that slavery was immoral and horrible everywhere, but conditions were generally more brutal in other countries than in the United States. Not only that, but the initiative to abolish slavery was birthed by Western civilization. And abolitionists were arguing against slavery from Christian and Enlightenment principles. One of the great historians on the history of slavery said that slavery had existed from time immemorial on all habitable continents. Only at a particular historical moment, and only in the West, did an evolving understanding of personal freedom, influenced by Christianity, emerge to assert as a universal that the enslavement of human beings created as icons of God was a moral wrong for anyone, anywhere. And thus slavery was abolished for moral reasons. But according to Howard Zinn, even the Emancipation Proclamation did not arise out of a sincere desire to free the slaves, but only from political and military expediency. And today, largely through the Zinnification of American history, even the first Republican elected president is no longer given credit for freeing the slaves and for going about it in a prudent, principled manner. Now, why is that? It's because that would mean giving the American people credit for abolishing slavery. And then it would undermine the narrative, the caricature of America as a uniquely racist country, a caricature, a narrative that is so prevalent in our nation today. Well, on our podcast, Mary Graber pointed out that Zinn wanted to replace Lincoln freed the slaves, which is a true fact of history learned by generations of Americans for a century, with the notion that Lincoln was just a small-minded political operator who skillfully blended the interests of the very rich and the interests of the black and linked these two with a growing section of Americans, the white and up-and-coming, economically ambitious, politically active middle class. In other words, the Civil War didn't so much free the slaves as enable bourgeoisie oppression. Only Zinn, and now a legion of Zinn followers, could present Abraham Lincoln, the American president with the humblest background, a man who worked his way up from poverty and was often ridiculed by the elites as a member of the elite ruling class. What is tragically ignored is that Lincoln had been elected on an anti-slavery ticket and was assassinated for his anti-slavery position. It's amazing how history is being distorted. Mary Graber is coming out later this year with a book titled Debunking the 1619 Project. If you don't know about that project, I want to tell you about that project. Let me give you just a little foretaste and I'll pick this up in the second half of the broadcast today, but this was a project which promotes the notion that 1776 is not the true founding of America. Rather, 1619 should be the quintessential date, because this was the year in which the first ship carrying slaves arrived at Jamestown. And thus, America is not founded on liberty and equality. But the narrative now is that America was founded on slavery, and therefore it is an illegal country, a country that needs to be torn down, and we need a revolution that establishes a new kind of a nation. So the very history of our country is now being undermined in the public narrative and in the minds of millions upon millions of students. I'll pick that theme up as we return from our break right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
One of the biggest mistakes people make is assuming that totalitarianism can't happen in their own country. Many American Christians are making that very mistake today, sleepwalking through the erosion of our freedoms. The new book, Live Not by Lies by Rod Dreher, will snap you out of the slumber and equip you for the long resistance. To receive your copy of Live Not by Lies, a manual for Christian dissidents, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much, Randy. Just before the break, I was talking about the 1619 Project. This project based on the idea that America was not founded on liberty and equality, but rather on racism. And the point of the project is that America is actually racist in origins and therefore manifestly evil, a country that needs to be overthrown. We need to start all over again. Here's what the New York Times says about the 1619 Project. Says the New York Times, America was not founded in 1776 with a Declaration of Freedom and Independence, but in 1619 with the introduction of African slavery into the New World. Ever since then, the 1619 Project argues, American history has been one long, sordid tale of systematic racism. And tragically, so many have drunk deeply from today's historical misinformation. Misinformation that the project creator of the 1619 Project, Nicole Hannah Jones, was awarded the Pulitzer Prize for last year. Think about that, being given a Pulitzer for misinformation. What neither Howard Zinn nor Nicole Hannah Jones have noted is that racism in large part was animated by the intellectual revolution that Harvard scientist Ernst Mayr once categorized as the most fundamental of all intellectual revolutions in the history of humankind. Sir Julian Huxley called it the most powerful, the most comprehensive idea that has ever arisen on earth. In fact, he said the 20th century cannot be comprehended apart from the intellectual revolution produced. This is a revolution that shaped the worldview of hundreds of millions of people. And of course, most noteworthy among them may well be Adolf Hitler. The German Führer said, Sir Arthur Keith, as I have consistently maintained, is an evolutionist, and he has consistently sought to make the practices of Germany conform to the theory of evolution. Darwin said it clearly when he said that the more civilized so-called Caucasian races had beaten the Turkish hollow in the struggle for existence. And then went on to say, looking to the world at no very distant date, an endless number of lower races will have been eliminated by higher civilized races throughout the world. When you hear that kind of rhetoric from Charles Darwin, you wonder why there's no outrage, why his statue stands untarnished, no spray paint on his statue, no torch taken to the base on which it towers above the masses. And by the way, Darwin's knighted bulldog, Sir Thomas Huxley, was no less benighted than his evolutionary descendant. He said, no rational man cognizant of the facts believes the average Negro is the equal, still less the superior of the white man. Incredibly, he said, it is unthinkable that he would be able to compete successfully with his bigger-brained, smaller-jawed rival in a contest which is to be carried on by thoughts and not by bites. I mean, as you're thinking about that, consider something else. Consider Dr. John Downe, who labeled Down syndrome mongoloid idiocy. Why? Because he thought it represented a throwback to the Mongolian stage in human evolution. There's a man who took evolution to its logical consequences. Unless we suppose that this is the mere prejudice of 19th century scientists, consider the pseudoscience of eugenics. You might recall that eugenics hypothesized that the gene pool was being corrupted by the less fit genes of inferior people, and for evolution to succeed, it was crucial that the unfit die. Just as crucial that they die as that the fittest survive. Why? Because if the unfit survived indefinitely, they would continuously infect the fit with their less fit genes, and the result would be that the fit genes would be corrupted and the evolutionary process would be compromised. I think it's instructive to hear what the late Michael Crichton pointed out in this regard. He noted that the theory of eugenics postulated that the best human beings were not breeding as rapidly as the inferior human beings. The foreigners, the immigrants, the Jews, degenerates, the unfit, and the feeble-minded. And so there was a plan. And the plan was to identify individuals who were feeble-minded. And back then they were agreeing that Jews were feeble-minded, foreigners were feeble-minded, blacks were feeble-minded, and therefore there had to be a plan to stop them from breeding by isolation in institutions, or else, as happened broadly, by sterilization. Well, the logical progression from evolution to eugenics is not surprising. What is surprising is the vast rapidity with which this baseless theory was embraced by cultural elites. Crichton notes that its supporters ranged from President Theodore Roosevelt to Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger. And eugenics research was funded through philanthropies, Carnegie, Rockefeller. It was carried out at prestigious universities, Stanford, Harvard, Yale, Princeton. And legislation to address the concern posed by eugenics was passed in blue states ranging from New York to California. Eugenics was even backed by the National Academy of Sciences and the American Medical Association, academies and associations that want us today to follow the science. Those who resisted the so-called science of eugenics were considered ignorant. But those like Margaret Sanger, who embraced eugenics, were considered enlightened. Well, we know the outcome of all this if we know a little bit about history. German scientists who gassed the feeble-minded were considered forward-thinking, progressive, and rewarded with grants from the Rockefeller Foundation right up to the onset of World War II. And it wasn't until the ghastly reality of eugenics reached full bloom in the genocidal mania of German death camps that it quietly vanished into the night. After World War II, few institutions or individuals would even own up to their insidious belief in eugenics. And nor did the cultural elite ever acknowledge the obvious connection between eugenics and evolution. Thank God, eugenics has faded into the recesses of history. But tragic consequences of this evolutionary dogma are yet with us today. in the conversation concerning systematic racism, we as Christians must be on the vanguard of making the historical connection between evolution and its racist implications. And we must be equipped to communicate as Paul did on Mars Hill. Remember his words? From one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. The implication, well, there are many implications, but the implication for the subject today, the subject of racism, is that in the Christian worldview, there is one race, it is the human race. And each person within the human race is a precious icon of God to be cherished, because that person is created in the image and designated to be conformed to the likeness of the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. Well, thanks for tuning in to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.